Hello, this is Elodie Reed, digital producer for Vermont Public Radio. This podcast has been edited for brevity and clarity. Yay!
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. As we've heard, the state of Vermont is very, very close to reaching its vaccination goal of 80% of all eligible Vermonters. This means all people 12 years of age and older. The last count stood at 79.6%. Now, that does not include yesterday's vaccinations, which means we're probably around 79.8%. And the state will reach its goal when roughly 1,000 people get their shots. When this happens, Governor Phil Scott says he'll lift all COVID-19-related restrictions, many that have been in place for almost 15 months. Well, throughout this pandemic, we've had special programs asking you how you're coping with the restrictions that have been put into place and how this whole experience has affected you. Today, we'd like to know, what will the lifting of these restrictions mean to you? Is it going to bring you a sense of relief? What are some of the things you've missed over the past year the most and the kinds of things you'll be looking forward to doing when the restrictions are lifted? Joining me today, as he has on many of our COVID-related programs, is VPR's Morning Edition host, Mitch Wortlieb. Hey, Mitch, great to have you on the program.
Thank you so much, Bob. As always, it is wonderful to be with you.
Mitch, there's no question that we have all been through a lot of challenges in the last 15 months. A lot of folks working from home, being isolated from family, friends, neighbors. It's been tough. Tell us, how are you feeling about these restrictions being lifted and how we're dealing with COVID-19 these days?
I mean, I'm feeling such a good question because it's hard to encapsulate and it's hard to answer succinctly. The 80% threshold to me, Bob, and I don't know if other listeners feel this way. I hope they'll call in and let us know. It's psychological. It's more than anything else. It is symbolic and representative of something. And that something to me, the thing that I am most looking forward to about hitting that 80% mark is that it continues to show that Vermont is leading the nation in the overall numbers of people 12 and older who have been vaccinated. Now, I don't have the latest numbers in front of me, but I'm pretty sure, and maybe you can back me up on this, that Vermont does have per capita the highest overall vaccination rate in the country. And I think that's a really good thing. It harkens back to last summer when the state was doing rather well before things, you know, started to go downhill with the number of infection rates that we were seeing in the state. To me, hitting 80% is a psychological thing. It's symbolic. It doesn't change a lot on the ground, so to speak. Vaccinations are still the most important thing. Getting vaccinated, if you can, if there's no other conditions that would keep you from doing so. And getting to that level where all the health officials are saying the more people that we get vaccinated, the better chance we have of keeping these numbers way down and fighting against possible variants.
I think our state health officials would agree with you 1,000% about the symbolic nature of the 80%, Mitch. I remember asking Deputy Health Commissioner Tracy Dolan a couple of times, you know, what's magic about 80? If we're at 79.6, aren't we basically at 80? And she said, yes, you know, from a medical point of view, that's true. But there was a lot of symbolism attached to that 80%. And lifting of all these restrictions at the same time.
Yeah, because you have to have the buy-in, because that 80% is a limit. You know, you can call it arbitrary or what have you, but the governor and the officials have set that amount. And if you hit it, it shows that, yes, Vermonters are collectively coming together to say, this is a goal, we're going to reach it together, and then we can start to drop some of these restrictions. If you look at other states around the country, they dropped restrictions way before any of this, with rates way lower for vaccination. And, you know, the first thing that leaps to my mind, Bob, and I know as a baseball fan, this caught your attention too. Mm-hmm. In the state of Texas, they opened up the ballpark in Arlington where the Rangers play to full capacity crowds well over a month ago. It might even be 2 months ago. And that to me is astonishing when you compare that sort of mindset to what we have here in Vermont and waiting until we hit this 80% mark to even lift mask mandate restrictions, for example.
That's right. I was just thinking about the Texas Rangers the other day and how they lifted their restrictions so quickly. And as you mentioned, Mitch, there are some states in the country that are close to Vermont for vaccination rates in the mid-70s, high 70s. And there are also a whole group of states that are down in the high 40s and low 50s. Mm-hmm. And it'll be fascinating to see over the next 3 to 6 months, will we see a return of this virus? Will there be a surge in some of these states that don't have vaccination rates as high as Vermont's? Or maybe not. Maybe that won't happen.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember, too, that while every state has a different approach to all of this, we are still the United States. You could make some arguments about that one way or the other, given the political climate these days. But we're all United States. And when we start traveling more and more people start going around the country, there are concerns about some of those states you mentioned, Bob, where the rates are more like 40 or, you know, 40-50%, and folks who are coming to visit Vermont who may not have bothered to get vaccinated. I think that has a lot of people concerned, and yet it just reemphasizes the point about getting vaccinated here in Vermont. It's the best way to protect yourself and others.
Let's talk to Robin in Underhill. Hi, Robin. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Well, first of all, I want to say, I'm a very proud Vermonter, and I feel like our state has done such a good job of kind of mitigating the risk with the pandemic. My only concern is that, like many other Vermonters, I have a very young child who is not old enough to be eligible for the vaccine. And with the lifting of the restrictions, particularly with the mask mandate, I find myself feeling more apprehensive to go out in public if I need to take him along with me. So for Vermonters like me, while I'm vaccinated and all the other adults in my household are vaccinated, it's a little bit of a mixed blessing.
Robin, what do you plan to do? I'm sorry, Bob. I just was curious about what Robin was planning to do once the mask mandate goes down. It could be as early as tomorrow or the next day. Will you be going out in public with your young child? I'm sure, like you said, a lot of parents have the same concerns.
I'll probably go back to what we were doing earlier on in the pandemic of kind of ordering groceries online. I'll probably take him to a lot of outdoor places over the summer. But in some ways, I wish we would have waited until all age groups were eligible. Hmm.
And Robin, I was wondering, when you have your concerns about young children, is it mostly that the children will be exposed from unvaccinated people?
Yes. I know it's currently unvaccinated adults are still supposed to abide by the mask mandate, but it's on an honor system. And I hate to say this because it's a little bit discouraging, but the past year has made me feel a little bit less trusting of the general public.
Yeah, I can understand those concerns, Robin, and if it makes you feel any better, I have heard those same concerns from parents like yourself who have children under the age of 12, and they are wondering the exact same thing, so you're not alone.
And if I understand correctly, Mitch and Robin, there could be a vaccine available for children under 12, perhaps sometime in the next 6 months or so.
Yeah, I think Pfizer is testing one of those for children under 12 and maybe the other companies as well. But still in testing stages, but we're hopeful that that could come about.
Robin, thanks for your phone call. We know there are a lot of parents that share your concerns. Today in the program, we're looking at what does it mean to lift these COVID restrictions that have been in place for the last 15 months? What does it mean to you? Our phone number is 1-800-639-2211. I'm Bob Kinzel, along with VPR's Mitch Wortlieb. Mitch, tell me, is there something that you have been itching to do? And these restrictions have not made it possible. But you know what? When these restrictions are lifted, look out. Here comes Mitch.
Yes, I would like to see your beer menu. I would like to see your menu for going out to a restaurant. I mean, I have not been out to eat inside for well more than a year. It's just one of my favorite things to do. My wife and I love going out and with our child as well, and just going out and having a nice meal at one of Vermont's many wonderful eateries. I miss it a lot. I'd say that. I'd say going to the movies. I have not been inside to a movie theater. That's definitely high on my list. After that, I'd see taking in a ball game at Fenway. I love to see the Red Sox play at least once a year. I think I'm going to be ready to do that. And then if I had to put one more down on the list, I'd say, you know, I'd like to go see a live concert at some point. But those are probably the big four for me. And then, of course, you know, there's family and friends that I haven't seen in a long time either. And we'll get to that, too.
So, Mitch, if we were able to get you tickets to Fenway Park and guarantee that the Red Sox would win, would that persuade you to go?
You know what? I want to see them play baseball so badly, you don't even have to guarantee me a win. I will just go. Get me those tickets. I'm there.
Let's turn to Brian, who's calling from Cambridge. Hey, Brian, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Rock on. I just wanted a chance to give my kind of two cents. I'm sure everybody has their two cents to add. I'm just a little bit apprehensive about us opening so soon. Even if we do get to the 80%, there is still 20% of the population that's vulnerable. I want to add to that, you know, my wife has an underlying condition, was not able to get the vaccine. I really, honestly, it's sad, but I don't trust half the people that are walking around without masks anyways, that they did get their vaccine. So I'm just a little bit apprehensive, especially with the Delta variant, what happened with India, what's happening with UK. I just don't want to see us regress.
Brian, what would you say to people who say, look, you know, in Vermont, you're being extra cautious. Look around the country. Look at Texas. Look at Florida, you know, North and South Dakota, places where they just haven't been this concerned about that. And if someone said to you, come on, what are you worried about? You know, it's not that bad. I mean, what would your response be?
My response is I'm glad that Governor Scott basically had the restrictions in place that he had. Vermont was one of the safest places in the entire country, and there's a reason for that. Yes, we all came together and we followed the restrictions and the mandates, but at the same time, you know, if Vermont wasn't as educated, honestly, of a state that it is, we would be the way Texas or Mississippi or Arkansas was, you know. We're very lucky to be where we live. But at the same time, I don't see, especially, this is a pandemic. This is something that we've never faced before in our lives. And all of a sudden, because of people wanting to go to the movies or concerts, listen, I want to go see Fish. You know what I'm saying? At the same time, I do.
I hear you.
At the same time, yeah. I'm not going to go and possibly expose and bring back to my five-year-old. You know what I mean? It's just a little too early for us to fully open, in my opinion.
Brian, I understand completely. Mitch, you know, just because we hit 80%, it's not like turning the light switch on and you go from having lots of restrictions and accepting them and then saying, oh, now everything's fine. I can do whatever I want. For some people, there's going to be a transitionary period here.
There is, and I think that Brian is making such a key point, Bob, and I think that Robin made the point as well. And I'd like to hear from other listeners about this, too, because one of the things that concerns me is that when we hit that 80% very soon and the governor does drop the mask mandates, for example, I think that a lot of people are worried that folks who, let's say, didn't even think about getting vaccinated, wouldn't do it for whatever reason, you know, they're being told if you're not vaccinated, you really should keep wearing the mask to keep others safe. But can we assume that those folks who don't even want to bother to get vaccinated if they can are certainly not going to bother then wearing a mask and then could be a potential danger to others? And I think that's the concern that I'm hearing in Brian's voice, in Robin's voice, and I do think it's a legitimate concern. And I really wish that people would understand that there's a responsibility here. At the very least, if you're not going to get vaccinated, you should continue wearing a mask if you're around other people.
You know, I was thinking, Mitch, there have been some difficult things that we've all had to deal with in the last 15 months, and yet there have been some good things that have come out of this as well, I think, and I'd just like to mention one or two. One is that there was really, in my neighborhood, I live in Montpelier, a really strong sense of community when this pandemic started. A big email chain was put together for everyone who lives on the street and the nearby streets. Offers to help people were made. Do you need someone to go to the grocery store or to the hardware store for you? How can we help out? Because people were feeling so isolated. So I just thought that was amazing that all these people decided we're going to come together as a group. And we really saw it in other neighborhoods in Montpelier as well. And I have the feeling, and now people people are planning a celebration over the 4th of July. Montpelier will be having a big celebration of its own, and different communities are being encouraged by the city to hold their own celebrations. And I can see this email group in my neighborhood working on that. What should we do? How can we plan together? How can we celebrate being all together? And it'll be really wonderful if this continues into the fall and the winter and going forward, that that sense of community stays with folks.
I really hope it does continue. Excuse me, Bob. And I do think it's wonderful to hear that that was your experience in Montpelier. In my own neighborhood in South Burlington, one of the lovely things that happened over the last, you know, difficult winter and such was people putting up lights all over the place. It was something I think the governor had mentioned doing. Let's, you know, try to keep that brightness that you usually see around the holiday time come out. People put out lights, then they come down. The lights stayed up all throughout the winter, really right into the spring. And it was just a showing that without having to have any verbal communication about it, you would walk around and you would see that everybody was sort of making that that marker, if you will, with those lights, saying, we're in this. We're here together. We know this is a difficult time, but we're trying to shine a little light metaphorically and literally by putting up these displays. And I thought it was really encouraging. And it was something that helped me just a little bit get through a very difficult winter. So I'm glad to hear you had a good experience in Montpelier as well.
One other good experience, and I know this is going to shock you, Mitch, and that is Zoom. Now, I know everybody is up to their eyeballs in Zoom meetings, and they go from one Zoom meeting to another, and they're wondering if they're caught sort of in Groundhog Day. Is this ever going to end? At the same time, what it did, at least for my family members, is create an opportunity, which was there before, but we just didn't take advantage of it, of saying, okay, on the weekends, let's get together and see each other. Now, we can't be with each other. We can't hug each other. But we can see each other. And as someone who has a number of grandchildren who grow up very quickly, as children do, being able to see them, it has been such a treat. And this is something that we're just going to continue on. And so I'm going to separate family Zoom from business Zoom if I can. But that's been a real treat as well. And I got to believe a lot of other families have had that experience too.
Well, it's interesting because I think there are two different Zoom camps. Maybe there are more than that. I'm really glad to hear that this was a way for you to keep up with your grandkids and, you know, be able to see them grow incrementally a little bit. I do think there is a difference between that family Zoom gathering, which feels to me very low risk. You know these people already. You're connecting with them in a way because you can't do it physically. And then the office Zoom experience and the way it was working or not working for people at work. For me, I have to be real honest about it. It was a really, really discomforting experience. And I've gotten a little better with it. I can handle it a little better now. There was something that was just very strange about it to me. I didn't like seeing myself in one corner of the screen while looking at other people and trying to keep my attention riveted.
Yes.
And what am I doing with my hands? And, you know, why do I look so weird there? And it, just wondering about that way you're coming across to other people in this new technology, I found very strange, and I still kind of do. And then I really think it was super difficult, and yet I'm amazed that they were able to make it work in any level with school. Because kids, I know my own daughter couldn't stand the Zoom learning, over, you know, trying to play her trombone, for example, you know, over Zoom and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But teachers, too, had to learn this new way of teaching, and they adapted so quickly. They did such an amazing job of trying to make this work. I found that to be remarkable, but I also know that it is no substitute for in-person learning. So, you know, mixed bag with Zoom. I'm certainly glad that it was good for you. I know it's a reality of life now, so I have to sort of get myself used to it and get over whatever problems I have with it.
You know, Mitch, I think some of the real heroes of the last 15 months have been those parents who had their children at home and they had to do remote learning, the children did.
Yeah.
At the same time, the parents were doing remote working. And so I just can't imagine, you know, remote working by itself would have been enough of a challenge. But then to have a child or two or three doing and supervising remote learning, I just don't see how it was possible.
I don't either. And it's amazing how humans adapt. It's one of the things that I think we'll look back on this many years from now and say, you know, this was a remarkable, you know, sort of way to slapdash things, put them together and sort of make it work. It didn't work completely, obviously, for a lot of people, especially those who don't have access to broadband and couldn't really make that technology work. It's very difficult. But it makes me wonder, what the heck did people do in 1918, you know, when the influenza hit there and people couldn't be visiting with one another? They didn't even have that technology to be able to bridge even that gap. It's just amazing what happens in the 21st century and the way we adapt when we have to.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Regis, who's calling from Montreal. Hi, Regis. Welcome to the program. Hey, Regis, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Oh, you're there. Hey, that's great. We'd love to hear from you.
Great. Yeah, I'm missing Vermont. I have a home in Smuggler's Notch. I have a boat in Plattsburgh, New York, but I can't get across the border unless I fly there. Mm. Spent the winter in Florida with a lot of Vermonters on the West Coast, and I'm urging to get back and do a little sailing and go back to my cottage.
So you're ready for the border to be reopened, Regis. Do you think it should be happening now? Are you ready? Because I know that, especially in Canada, the vaccination rates are really lagging there. It's especially bad in Quebec, and you're in Montreal right now. What are you hearing on the ground there about vaccination rates, about how people are feeling about reopening that border?
It's mixed. The people who want to travel are vaccinated. I'm getting my second shot next week. So I'll be fully vaccinated with Pfizer. So for the people who want to travel, who own property in the States, who want to go to Europe, let them in. I mean, we are going to get a vaccination card proving that we were vaccinated. And for those people, fine, let them go. But the people who do want the vaccination, well, no travel for you, you know.
You know, Regis, Canada adopted a slightly different strategy than the United States, and I think it had to do with the availability of the vaccines or the lack of availability of vaccines. In the United States, it was said, you know, especially with the Moderna and the Pfizer shots, that you really did need to get both of those shots for it to be most effective. And if, from what I've read, what Canada decided to do is let's see how many people we can at least get one shot to as quickly as possible. We'll worry about the second shot later. Do you think my understanding is correct, Regis?
It was like that because there was a... The availability wasn't there, but now we've got quite a few more shots on hand. So I'm 54, and like I said, next week I'm eligible for the second shot.
Okay, and I, from what I understand in talking, listening to Governor Scott from his press briefings, there is optimism and hope that the Canadian border will be open by the middle of July, that the vaccination rates in Quebec and across Canada will be high enough at that point to allow an opening of the border. And lots of people in Canada and certainly lots of people in Vermont are really looking forward to that day. Regis, thanks very much for your phone call. We really appreciate it. You know, Mitch, we were talking about mentioning some good things, family Zooms and communities coming together. You know, something that I've talked to you about a couple of times on various programs, and I'm not quite sure why this happened, but it did, and I'm really glad that it did. Mm. And that is that I became a reader during this pandemic. Now, I think I've read more books in the last 15 months than I have in the last 15 years, and that's really not an exaggeration. There was something about ending the day and spending maybe 45 minutes or an hour reading a historical novel or whatever the book happened to be that kind of calmed me down and just kind of relaxed me, and it became a really favorable way to end the day and a nice tradition to have. And So far, I've kept it up. I'm really curious to see, you know, a month, 2 months, 3 months from now, if that habit has continued. But it's been something I've really enjoyed.
Well, that you just anticipated my question to you, Bob, is do you think you're going to keep it going? Because it's really interesting, the things that people did to alter their routines. Maybe people got out to walk more. Maybe they got outside more. Maybe they did more reading, as you did. Will those activities and those new things that you brought into your life continue that came about because of the pandemic? And when they don't have to, do you think you'll keep reading at the same level that you are now? Because that's an amazing thing. You're saying you read more books in the past 15 months than maybe in the last 15 years. You think you're going to stay a committed reader?
Well, I can only tell you my experience about the last 2 or 3 weeks. As you know, I love listening to music and follow music and get excited when an artist that I like is putting out a new album. You know, I hear it's coming out in the next 2 weeks or 10 days, and the anticipation of it is really quite exciting. I find that happened with Malcolm Gladwell, who is an author that I really enjoy reading. Mm-hmm. You know, I read down at the local bookstore, they said, oh, yeah, his new book is coming out. It is out now, but this was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. They said, it's coming out soon. And my reaction was, oh, I can't wait.
That's great.
This is a new experience for me. So, yeah, I think it is going to stay with me for a while. Now, during the summer months, it might be a little different because we tend to do different activities in the early evenings. We've got lots of light and whatnot. But I just finished the Malcolm Gladwell book, and my first thought in finishing it was, well, what's up next?
See, that's good. That's a good sign that you're ready to move on to the next book. And I think once you get, you know, you're a reader. I know you've read all your life. But when you really get into it and you really need that next book, I think that's a good kind of addiction to have, if you will, to use a poor word for it.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Teresa. Hi, Teresa. Welcome to the program.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you, Teresa?
Good. Greetings from the lovely city of Binghamton, New York.
All right. How you doing up there?
Actually, for you guys, it's down, but that's okay.
That's true. Good point.
Down, you know, it's all the same. Yeah. A bunch of my friends and I, we are just so looking forward to camping.
And where are you going camping?
There's all kinds of places, but our first trip, believe it or not, is to come to Vermont to go to Emerald Lake State Park.
Oh, it's lovely.
Yes, it is. We're so excited and so happy. And I was also so gratified to hear that Vermont actually waited to an 80% rate of vaccination and that you guys are that close. I was so glad because Governor Cuomo wants to open our state at 70.
Oh, and you're not at 70 yet in New York. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So
as gratified as I am that he wants to open the state, you know, I worry because 30% is a significant minority, and there are still a lot of people that just don't want the vaccine. And I worry.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Teresa, because when you first, you know, got on the call, you do sound like you're very, you know, exuberant. You're ready to go. You sound happy about being back out there and camping. And I thought, well, here's somebody who's not too concerned, you know, about getting sick. But you do sound like you have thought about these precautions and you're just glad that Vermont is waiting for an 80% rate rather than what's happening in New York. Do you feel like, you know, this is something that we're setting a good example here that maybe New York could take a cue from?
Absolutely. I do believe that New York could take a cue from Vermont. I have elderly parents that have comorbid conditions, and they finally got the green light to travel. And I am so gratified. But, you know, there are people out there who choose not to be safe.
Yeah. Well, beyond camping, would you be comfortable going to a restaurant, going to the movies at this point, whether it's in Vermont or New York?
I would be comfortable, presuming that I would know where I was going and the people that I would be around. I would be much more comfortable if, you know, we all hit an 80% vaccination rate.
Yeah, okay. Well, I hope you enjoy your camping trip, Teresa. Sounds like you're going to have a great time. Well, if you have good weather, too.
Yes,
Yes, Teresa, thanks very much for calling. We appreciate your phone call today. Let's talk to Barb, who is calling from West Rutland. Hi, Barb. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good afternoon. I really enjoy your program. I am excited to be going back out to some arts and theaters, and I'm looking forward to that. I have gone out. I've been fully vaccinated. I did go out, and I went public to a few places that didn't look very populated, and I took a risk, and I did not wear my mask, and I ended up coming down with a flu. So as excited as people are to get out and about, I highly recommend to still wear your mask, especially if you're inside, to still take care of yourself.
Oh, gosh, Barb, you must have been a little bit frightened when you got the flu. Were you worried that it was COVID?
Well, I did go to an express care, and they did test, and it was not COVID. But it's concerning, you know, and I should have known better. So if I can even help one person to say, well, don't take that risk yet. And I've been fully vaccinated for months. So I was just surprised. My husband was with me. He did not get the flu, but I did. So you just don't know.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I think a lot of people are worried that they may have, like yourself, been fully vaccinated. And I have heard some concerns that, you know, if you're still wearing a mask, you know, feeling like, well, maybe I'm being overcautious, you know, maybe I'm still contributing to this, you know, feeling of fear. But it seems to me that, you know, the health commissioner has said this, and I think the governor's repeated it as well. We should understand and be understanding of people who want to keep wearing their masks for a while, even if it's, you know, you don't necessarily have to, even for that psychological feeling of feeling safe. And in your case, Barb, maybe not getting the flu. So I think there is still, people are going to have to realize that if you're still wearing a mask, that's a comfort level. Don't judge anybody for it. We're all still trying to figure all this out.
Barb, thanks very much for your phone call. You know, Mitch, the first couple of weeks of the pandemic, when we were all encouraged to wear masks, remember, it sort of felt weird. You put your mask on, go into a store or mm-hmm. wherever you were going. It just felt awkward and weird. But now, 15 months later, it almost feels like it's something that's normal. And not to wear it feels weird. I don't know if you have that feeling.
Yeah, it's so strange. You know, I have these masks that are sort of like two or three in my car. I open my glove compartment and I forget there's another one there. Like, you know, I realize this has been such a part of my life for these last 15 months that it is going to feel weird now not wearing one. And I have slowly transitioned to this because I am fully vaccinated myself. And I was wearing a mask even on my outdoor walks with my dog, you know, which I've been doing daily, which have been such an important part of my life, even more so over this last year. And now I've slowly started to not wear that mask outdoors. I've been told that's okay. That's fine. I'm fully vaccinated. I don't need to wear it. But it still feels a little weird to pass by somebody on that wooded path and not have my mask on. I almost feel apologetic. I know I don't have to apologize. I'm doing the right thing. I'm following all the protocol. But it is weird how it felt so strange at first. It feels even stranger now not to wear one. Unbelievable year.
It really is something. Let's talk to Kim, who's calling from Moortown. Hi, Kim. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to make a comment that I am incredibly appreciative of the governor. I think he moves at just the right pace throughout the pandemic in pretty much every aspect. And at this point, I feel like it's time to reopen fully. And the reason I feel that way is that while I understand that there are people in our communities that can't get vaccinated and people who choose not to, our young people, our middle school and high school students, and I'm a teacher, have suffered tremendously in terms of their mental health through the course of this pandemic. And it's time to lift those restrictions so that they can go back to living lives that include dance and theater and music and camp and, you know, all the things that bring their lives meaning and joy. So, I understand, but if people are still concerned, they need to put on an N95 mask and get on with it. That's kind of how I'm feeling.
Kim, how do you feel about how we should approach and help these kids who have really suffered a lot over this last year? And what are some of the signs, maybe, if a kid that, you know, as a teacher, you must know when you see a child whose behavior has changed a little bit, what should we be looking for to reach out to somebody who might need a little extra help?
My school district was kind enough to give me the opportunity to teach online this year through VTBLC. And so I did get the chance to interact with a lot of students. And so, you know, I think that it's difficult to know online on a Zoom call if a child is suffering because they put on a mask of being okay. Or, yeah, you know, that's the one time in their day when they're with other people. And so they feel some sense of, you know, happiness or whatever. But I think that the people closest to our kids, their parents, their siblings, their friends, you know, I think that they're aware. And I know there was a tremendous mental health crisis. I mean, tremendous. It happened in my own family, and it was really difficult to find resources. It took months to find mental health resources for young people. There's a shortage anyway, and then suddenly we had all these kids in crisis. And so I feel like it's time to let them go back to being kids and doing the things that bring joy to them. And I understand there's risk involved for other people. And so now maybe if, you know, you can't go out without being afraid, maybe you don't go out. But our kids need to go out again. It's time. It's time.
And Kim, it sounds like the school officials throughout the state just totally agree with your point of view and are going to make every effort possible to have all schools reopen in the fall in person for many of the reasons that you just stated.
Yeah, and I think that it's important that kids get to do things like sleepaway camp and, you know, and mountain biking club and, you know, all the things in the summer that kids want to do, because it's, you know, we're close. We'll reach the 80% mark soon. And I just feel like everybody who's worried about everybody being dishonest, I mean, 80% of the people in our state have gone and gotten vaccinated. And all my kids who are of age have all gotten vaccinated. I made the appointment on the very first day that it was available. So, you know, I think I understand people are not trusting others, but that's on them. Like, you know, like our kids need to go back to living their lives and interacting with each other and, you know, hugging each other and having sleepovers and doing all the things that make being a kid meaningful and joyful, because they've had enough sadness.
Yep. Kim, we appreciate your phone call very much. A lot of teachers, a lot of parents, and I'm sure a lot of students would agree with you 1,000%. Let's talk to Lisa, who is calling from Milton. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you very much. I'm calling, I believe Mitch has made my point about letting people drop the mask when they're ready. My mother, Marcia Perkins Pirro, was the 228th Vermonter to die of COVID in Vermont. Mm. And the other day I was at a grocery store with my mask on. I'm fully vaxxed. I'm not ready to take it off. And I had a woman coming towards me, no mask, a woman behind me, no mask. And I just full blown panic attack. And I know it's not rational. I know how accurate or effective these vaccines are. I understand that, but it's in my mind, I'm not ready for it. And I just would like to reiterate, if somebody's wearing a mask, let them wear the mask. Yeah. You know, and I'm going to have to adjust my behavior to avoid being in that situation again in going to the grocery store in off hours. Or, you know, I'm going to have to work on my own reaction to this also. So just please, Vermonters, keep being Vermonters and let people come to terms on their own. Does that make any sense?
It makes a lot of sense, Lisa. I want to say I'm so sorry for the loss of your mom. I want to thank you for being brave enough to call in and let us know that this has been your experience. And I think your message is loud and clear. Vermonters, be your best selves. And if you see somebody wearing a mask, I don't care whether it's a month from now, 2 months from now, down the road, let them wear that mask. It's giving a measure of comfort. It doesn't matter if you've been fully vaccinated or not. And I completely understand what you were going through in that grocery store, Lisa. And, you know, give yourself some time. Let yourself be ready when you're ready, because you've been doing everything right. You've experienced this from a very personal level, this personal level of loss. I'm so sorry that that happened with your mom, but I do think that your message is really important for Vermonters to hear. So thank you for calling.
Yes, Lisa, thank you very much for calling. Let me just echo your thoughts, Mitch, that this is really a situation where people are going to have to make up their own minds of what they're comfortable doing and what they're not comfortable doing.
Yep.
And there may be a bunch of folks who are saying, you know, for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to still wear a mask. I feel more comfortable that way, and I hope everybody feels okay about it.
Yeah, don't judge.
Exactly, exactly. Let's get a call in from Paul in Orwell. Hey, Paul, welcome to the program.
Hey, welcome. Nice talking to you today. I'm actually calling from Orwell. My comment is that this is a free weekend for Vermonters, Vermont Days, and it's kind of, we do it every year, but this is a real reward for all the fine work that everybody's done getting the COVID vaccinations. The state historic sites are open. I'm Mount Independence in Orwell. Has 6 miles of trails. You can get out. You can be separate. You can enjoy the scenery and just kick back and have a good time. And if you learn something by accident, that's even better.
No doubt about it. We should remark, too, that the state parks are open. They are also offering free COVID-19 vaccines at many of the state parks. So there's another reason to get out there and enjoy the outdoors and get a shot as well if you haven't had one yet.
That is correct. And everything should be going really wonderfully. It's both days, Saturday and Sunday. So get out and enjoy the time where you can be with people, you know, spaced out or however you want to do it.
Paul, thank you very much for your phone call. And Mitch, we should mention that the state is still got dozens and dozens of walk-in clinics going on.
Yep.
Today, tomorrow, Sunday, Monday. So there's a real great availability. And as you mentioned, if you go to state parks, you can get vaccinated at the same time.
Yeah, it's not a bad deal. You know, there's free beer and a pickle at some other places. I know we've been talking about that this morning on the news. We all had a little bit of a laugh about that. Yeah, it's just a nice opportunity. Obviously, getting outdoors is a great thing. And if you can get vaccinated at the same time, why not? It's that's a double good thing.
Let's get a quick call in from Rich in South Burlington. Hey, Rich, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
What's on your mind?
I just wanted to observe that, of course, this has been a horrible tragedy, and we would never choose to go through it. But it has been also a great experiment in technology. Hmm. And it's shown some of us that we're really much freer from the bounds of geography than we were. I used to have to travel up to California sometimes to do meetings, and it would take me 3 days to do that, or four. Now I can do it in 2 hours on Zoom. Who would want to go back to spending all that time and money that really didn't have to be spent? So, you know, as we look at the sadness of this whole thing, we should try to also look at the optimistic side.
That's a good view of it, Rich. I got to say, absolutely.
It isn't, you know, Rich and Mitch, it's going to affect people for remote working. I think lots of folks in the last 15 months have said, well, I can work at home and I can be very productive. The state of Vermont has found that out. Many businesses have found that out. And there's going to be an opportunity for some people to work at home. Maybe it'll be a hybrid system where they go into the office on Mondays and Fridays, but then they work at home Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But the technology that Rich was talking about, I think it opened a lot of people's eyes and many businesses and state government about the possibility and the opportunities of working from home.
And the interconnectedness of everything always amazes me too, Bob, because when you think about it, there's an additional possible benefit to working from home. You're going to have fewer cars commuting, fewer gas emissions on the road. That can help with climate change. You know, it might seem like a small thing, but actually in the aggregate, it can add up. And I think Rich is right that the technological advances that have been made and that have helped us get through this pandemic shouldn't be overlooked.
Well, it does appear that many of the COVID restrictions that have been in place since March of 2020 will be lifted in the next day or two or three. VPR's Mitch Wortley, many thanks for being on the program today. And thanks, as always, for providing us with such a wonderful start to our day every morning.
Oh, you're very welcome, Bob. That's really nice of you to say, and it's always a pleasure to speak with you. I've really enjoyed this. Thank you.